Blog Talk Radio.
Insights from the Couch. Getting Over a Breakup Part 2. 7 Things Not to Do After a Breakup, which is about what to definitely not do after a breakup and what to do instead. You can certainly make your suffering last much longer or choose to start healing quicker. Hi there. Welcome from Insights from the Couch. This is part 2 of a 4-part series I'm running in August about breaking up. Today is called, like I said, 7 Things Not to Do After a Breakup. Breaking up is a painful part of our human experience on this planet. Most people have been through it at least once in their life, and it can be a crushing experience. I'm Karen Weary, licensed marriage and family therapist and life coach in Orange City, Florida, at Insights Counseling Center. I have helped a lot of people overcome challenging parts of their lives, and one of the things I love the most about my work is seeing people moving from a place of pain to strength and joy. When I see someone come into my office carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, and then seeing them walk out of my office with that weight relieved, that is what drives me to continue to do the work that I do. One of the things that came to light in one of my recent sessions was someone who was in deep depression after a series of events had happened, which included what was looking like a separation in a relationship that was long distance, a loss of a job that the individual really loved, and all this happened around the same time. After a few sessions, I became aware of how this client was spending a lot of time watching sad movies and listening to sad songs. I told her that this was something that she really needed to stop doing to herself because she was not making any progress. It's like placing a heavy lead blanket over yourself when you inundate yourself with sadness. It becomes so heavy it's almost impossible to get out from under the weight of the blanket. Music has a powerful effect on our emotions. Why do you think that movies rely on music so heavily? It helps steer what mood they want from the audience. They want the audience to feel while watching their movie. Here are the results of a small Finnish study done by Sari Kallio and Erkila. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but it's fun to say. Number 1, entertainment. They came up with 7 powerful things that people get from music. So number 1 is entertainment. At the most fundamental level, music provides stimulation. It lifts the mood before going out. It passes the time while doing the washing up. It accompanies traveling, reading, and surfing the web. 2, revival. Music revitalizes in the morning and calms in the evening. 3, strong sensation. Music can provide deep, thrilling emotional experiences, particularly while performing. 4, diversion. Music distracts the mind from unpleasant thoughts, which can easily fill the silence. 5, discharge. Music matching deep moods can release emotions, purging and cleansing. 6, mental work. Music encourages daydreaming, sliding into old memories, exploring the past. And last but not least, 7 is solace. Shared emotion, shared experience, a connection to someone lost. These 7 strategies all aim for 2 goals, controlling and improving mood. One of the beauties of music is that it can accomplish more than 1 goal at a time. Uplifting music can both divert, entertain, and revive. Sad, soulful music can provide solace, encourage mental work, and discharge emotions. The examples are endless. Many of Sari Kallio and Erkila's findings chime with previous research. For example, distraction is considered one of the most effective strategies for regulating mood. That's where we get reframing, which we'll talk about a little later. Music has also been strongly connected with reflective states. These tend to allow us a greater understanding of our emotions. Now, back to my story about the very depressed client I was seeing who revealed to me that she spent a lot of time listening to sad music and watching sad movies. 1 week she came in to see me and said that she had reluctantly put on more upbeat music and more uplifting and funny movies on, and she did in fact feel lighter. So, number 1, don't listen to sad music and sad songs very long. 2, don't isolate yourself. I know that especially in the beginning, all you want to do is to hole yourself up in a dark room and never answer your phone again or leave your room. In fact, what the best thing you can do is to get out and try new things. If you've never painted before, go sign up for one of the many new painting classes that have been popped up recently. It's fun, and you get to play with colors, and whatever you want to do with the end result doesn't matter. Throw it out, put it away, hang it up, or give it to someone as a gift. It doesn't matter. Go on a cruise. Take a class in anything that you have even a remote interest in. The reason why? Because when you're engaged in something that is new, you must pay extra attention to it. Your brain is being stimulated in ways that require all of your attention. Hence, you're distracted and don't have time to obsess about your ex. You're creating new pathways in your brain as your brain makes new connections to learn what you're being taught. You are out in the world interacting with other people. Again, distraction, possible entertainment, and reminding you that life does go on without this other person. It may hurt right now, but it won't hurt forever. You may even meet some new people who become friends, or who knows, maybe even a new romance. And if you don't like the class or activity, guess what? You know that you don't like that activity because you actually tried it. And what else would you have been doing? You would have been at home, in bed, unshowered, stinky, and crying your eyeballs out. Which one do you pick? Number 3, don't fall into a bottle of liquor or use mind-altering substances. While getting a buzz now and then socially is one thing, it's a whole different story when you start using mind-altering substances in order to suppress the negative emotions you're feeling. In fact, alcohol being a depressant, you're, in fact, adding to the pain rather than healing it. In fact, you are burying yourself deeper in the ground. Now, your body has to heal from the alcohol when the effect is over, and rather than feeling healthier and better about yourself, now you're also physically ill. Instead, do something that feels good. Take a warm bath. Schedule an appointment for a massage and a manicure. Number 4, by all means, do not drunk dial your ex. I mean it. And while you're at it, do not Facebook stalk your ex. I know you may feel an obsessive desire to see what he or she is up to and who he or she is hanging out with in hopes of seeing him or her being miserable. Instead, what you're going to see is your ex having a blast with his or her friends and new love interest. And what is that going to do for you? You guessed it. Stab you in the heart like the Dickens. Give you more food for obsessive rumination, especially giving you more sleepless nights. I don't care how much you loved your ex, how long you were together, and what you've done to and for each other. If your ex who left you worth giving up valuable sleep, gobbling up all your free time, wearing yourself sick over? Is your time and mental health and life not valuable enough for you to invest in making a better life? If your ex had believed in you as a couple, your ex would be with you right now trying to work things out. It becomes this entire push-pull effect. The more you try to get someone to be with you, the more you push the other person away. Your actions have the opposite effect of what you're wanting to have happen. Therefore, block, unfriend, delete your ex from your social media so you don't get tempted to waste your time looking at their public face. Number 5, if you have kids together, do not ask probing questions of your kids about your ex's new life. Your kid loves you, and your kid loves their other parent as well. It's not fair to bring them in the middle of an adult disagreement. They did not choose to be in the middle of it, and it is so uncomfortable for your kids to be placed in that role as they don't want to betray either one of you. What you can do is ask if they had fun, what were their favorite parts of their visit with your ex. Ask open-ended questions that allows them to reveal as much or as little as they feel comfortable sharing. Love your kids enough to not inflict your pain onto them. Trust me, the split does wear on them. Make their life easier, and they will know that you are a safe person who know when and where to share what emotion. Be an example for them by taking the high road. 6. Don't sit at home looking at photos of you and your ex. If you have photos on your phone that you're not ready or willing to delete, download them onto your computer and put them on a memory stick so you have them, yet they're not as accessible. It's too easy to go on your phone and scroll through those pictures. You only get caught up back in the pain. 7. Don't hang out in the same places that you would go with your ex, if at all possible. Change things up. Take a trip out of town just because you actually deserve it. Again, new impressions stimulate the brain and keeps the brain interested. You meet new people, and especially if you sign up for a group activity, you're with other people who have the same interests as you do. And after one particularly painful breakup I went through, I signed up for a weekend getaway with a group of fellow bicycle enthusiasts. I didn't know a soul when I went. I shared a room with another single woman who wanted to cut expenses, and we hit it off beautifully. I got to go to a new place, exercise in a way that I really enjoy. I love the sense of freedom I get when flying down the road, using my own personal horsepower to move myself on the bicycle, feeling the wind on my skin and in my hair, and still being able to commune with nature. Experiences are what we remember. You deserve to let yourself continue and enjoy your life. One motto I had for myself during that time is the following. This was just a preview of something even better that is on its way into my life. Somehow that would lighten my heart. It reminded me that there are millions of men out there, and just because this person wasn't someone who stuck it around, it was probably a good thing, because it probably would not have gone well. When I said last week that dating truly is a personal growth experience, I was not kidding. It is a bit of a minefield, and it is fun, exciting, and frustrating, and painful. Learning how to maneuver this particular part of life takes courage. I know a number of people who take themselves out of the game because they don't want to get hurt. Yet what is possible to gain is so precious. So, move forward in your healing process and use these tools that I've described today in the 7 things not to do at their breakup, which also includes what to do instead. Most behaviors need to be repeated over and over in order to work. You don't expect your dog to learn how to follow your commands after saying the command once. Well, our brains and our emotions need lots of repetition as well, especially when we are feeling the pain of a heartache. Next week, we'll talk about breaking up from the viewpoint of the person who's breaking up. Yes, the person breaking up has their own pain that they go through. It may not be obvious. Follow us here on Blog Talk and on Facebook at Insights Counseling Center and practice these tools. Until then, go out and love yourselves.